to sit in on these classes, just to actually get this in our mindset when it comes to writers like Paul, Peter, James, John, etc. But today, of course, we're dealing with Paul in context. You know, concerning this class as it is written, we're going to be focusing on Paul in context and just dealing with Paul, who he was as a person and what he was trying to teach, who he was teaching to, what he was teaching for, and how you're supposed to read Paul. You know, a lot of Israelites and Christians alike have a very terrible issue of misapplying and misusing Paul's letters based upon how they view his words. And I want to like just get that dealt with so that we know how to actually apply Paul in context when we're reading him, so we can actually understand the proper culture of the Bible with the Old and New Testament together according to the actual spirit of this lesson as it is written. So we're going to start in a couple of minutes. Get this filled up.
So Lockyot.
Yo, what you got, Faye?
Hey, I got your recording started, so I am recording right now. I was just going to ask, could we get a secondary recorder? Because sometimes this Telegram be iffy.
God. Can anybody second record? Kanaa, you got it?
Kanaa.
Appreciate you, sis. Hope y'all got y'all notes and pads ready, of course. Got some scriptures, of course, that y'all should write down and, you know, go over, study, read for yourselves. So have your notes and pad out. Have your pen ready so we can actually get through this together. I'm going to start in a few. I just want to make sure. You know, good. I don't want Corey maybe sitting in. If not, we could start in a few.
God up top all the time, real talk, you know.
I'ma keep it simple. F America, my ruling presidential. Westside Vulture Island, that's my residential. Send an Edomite to hell and tell him Chef, he sent you. I gotta keep it tall, or my spirit couldn't sleep at all. See no wicked standing while my people take a deeper fall. Not in reach at all. In the battle, you can see the scars. More I try to hide them, more my people see my deepest flaws. Get the street involved, wanna give the reaper ether cost. We just keep the loss. I got goals, I'ma reach them all. I say F for hate. That's forgive them, but don't speak at all. Got some brothers with me, they was not like trying to beat the ball. At the home plate, know I'm safe, that's an easy call. Summer had to wait, it's about to be a chilly fall. Set the record straight, with my brothers, we don't beef at all. Had to demonstrate, son of David, make a heathen fall. Make a heathen fall. Had to demonstrate, son of David, make a heathen fall. Make a heathen fall. Had to demonstrate, son of David, make a heathen fall. Make a heathen fall. Had to demonstrate, son of David, make a heathen fall. Make a heathen fall. Had to demonstrate, son of David, make a heathen fall. What a fall from the top for the prideful. Burning synagogues, all they altars and they idols. We got rods of iron and some chains for our rivals. Who stole everything, even our names out the Bible. What they wouldn't take. If they had the laws, what they wouldn't break. Forked tongue, tell me what they wouldn't say. And if God so love the world, where do Edom stay?
You cannot do what you want. One day that high gotta come down. One day that pleasure gon' run out. You ain't got nowhere to run now. Better repent of your sin, don't be late. Praise the Father in heaven and come. Don't be trading your soul for the phone. Even darkness don't last in the sun.
Holy Spirit, take over my lungs. I breathe, I'm striking my demons like drum. Rose apart with the flow, I'm in front. Life is bigger than drugs and the gun. You cannot argue the fact that I burn. I do not go back and forth, I'm a done. They just be talking and hear a response. See, they chasing this well and it's gone.
Okay, humble sheriff, got nothing to prove. Yeah, God is good, I'm in a different mood. God's father, call him Godfather. It's my ties when we in the room. Praising him like having court. Yeah, we all rise when he enter rooms. More higher with a bigger view. When I'm law-abiding, y'all in the truth. They were trying to make us fantasize, but he lied like he on interviews. Giving rope just to hang himself, but I'm untied. I ain't in the loop. Fast then seek the Holy Spirit till we face to face like on interview. World ending quick like an interlude. Repent quickly what we finna do.
Appreciate that fade. I got any readers available tonight? I got any readers sound off if y'all could read tonight.
I got you, Ot.
God. Anybody else can read? Our fade. Sadia?
Huh.
Okay. God, it's a lot, kid. So first and foremost, I want to give all praise, honor, and glory to the Most High God, Yahweh. I do so in the name of his only begotten Son and our Lord and Savior, who the world ignorantly calls Jesus Christ, real name Yahweh Shai, according to the text and the scriptures. I just want to start this lesson, of course, by summarizing the whole point of as it is written. The formulation of this lesson was bringing the old with the new, and actually explaining the doctrines taught in both, and showing that it is one singular culture and understanding between them both, that it's not a new actual thing in the New Testament that's separate from the old. It is one single doctrine that we got to follow. So first and foremost, I want to explain that doctrine, and I want to define it for both the Old and the New Testament. And the reason why I want to do this is because in explaining Paul in context, we have to understand how we're supposed to read Paul and how we're supposed to look at Paul and the things that he says. In the last class that we had with the As It Is Written, we went through Paul's letters, specifically the letter to the Romans, and what he was trying to teach with the scriptures that he quoted from the Old Testament. And we came to the conclusion that he was trying to showcase to the people they were supposed to have faith in Christ and keep the commandments of God. That was a direct understanding that actually came from that combination of scriptures that he quoted, teaching a very simple and clear-cut message: have faith in Christ, keep the commandments. And we were able to gauge that and see that as we went back and forth with the Old and the New Testament. But in this lesson, I wanted to take another approach when it comes to Paul. I wanted to showcase to our brothers and sisters in TAB how you're actually supposed to read Paul in context and how you're supposed to apply Paul in your everyday life. So first things first, I just want to give clarity of what the doctrine is. Fade, can you go to the book of Proverbs chapter 4 and read verse 2?
Okay. This is the book of Proverbs chapter 4 verse number 2. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law.
Forsake ye not? Forsake ye what, Salaki?
Forsake ye not my law.
So we see that the doctrine of the Most High God is his law. That is the doctrine. Clear cut. There is no conversation, no contention or scoffing. The doctrine of God is his law that he gave unto his chosen people for them to follow. Yesadia, can you go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32 and read verse 1?
Come on. It's the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth.
So God is saying, everybody, listen to what I'm about to say. Listen to the things I'm instructing you on and giving you according to what I am commanding you today. Read verse 2.
Verse 2. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass.
So here we see that his speech and his words are his doctrine. So the word of God is the doctrine that you're supposed to be focused on. That is what you're supposed to be looking for instruction and for correction and for doctrine. Faye, go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15.
This is the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus.
We see that Paul is advising Timothy you've had the holy scriptures from the time you were a child, and you should go to them to teach you the salvation that comes through Christ. This is going to teach you how to follow Christ, how to have faith in him, and what you're supposed to be doing concerning this walk. Read verse 16.
Verse number 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for what? Reproof, for doctrine.
Going.
For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
So the holy scriptures that he's directly referencing are for doctrine. These are scriptures that Timothy, whose mother was a Jew who believed, had access to and was able to provide for her child consistently, which will be the law and the prophets. So the law and the prophets are there for doctrine and reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So that is the doctrine in both the Old and the New Testament, the law of God. That is the standard that we have for doctrine. So I just wanted to bring that out for clarity of what the actual doctrine of the Bible is and the culture. It is simply the law of God and the words that the Most High God gave through his prophets. That's the culture. And that's the set of doctrine you're supposed to be focused on. Now, the reason why I brought this out in the first place is because as it is written is based on that. When you read in the New Testament as it is written, it is directly quoting the law and the prophets, the word of God, when they utilize those terms for the most part. When they utilize the term as it is written, that's actually what they're quoting. And that's important because they don't always use that term. And it's important to note that as it is written isn't always a term that's used, because the writers of the New Testament aren't always quoting the law of God and are not always directly referring to the law and the prophets when they make certain statements. And we're going to be showing a great example of that with Paul in context. So Paul is a man of Tarsus, born a Jew and trained to be a Pharisee, a well-learned, intelligent, and culturally sound Israelite, who with his high amount of wisdom is set off to teach multiple churches the way they should live, according to their newfound faith in Christ. With that being said, Paul is not the Most High God. So in the scriptures that we brought out earlier, we saw that the doctrine is the word of God and his law. That is the set doctrine in both the Old and the New Testament. So that distinction needs to be made clear in your mind. Paul is not the Most High God. So when you're reading Paul's letters to these very specific churches to help them live their lives and improve their way of living with their faith in Christ, you are not supposed to view Paul's letters as Torah. Paul's letters are not Torah. And that's something that needs to be said. Paul's letters are not the standard or the foundation of your doctrine. The law of God is. God's word is, not Paul's letters. And the reason why I feel the need to say this is because in bridging the Old Testament with the New Testament, certain texts within the Bible have to be viewed a certain way for you to have clarity. Paul's words are not Torah. They are advice that he is providing for his leadership throughout the churches he built up. So that has to be the framework when you're reading his epistles. You're not supposed to read every word as the verbatim word of God. Yo, God said this, God said that, and then you hold Paul's letters to that standard. That is not how you're supposed to read Paul. I'll give a couple of examples. Faye, go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 6. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 6.
This is the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 6. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment.
Read that again.
But I speak this by permission and not of commandment.
So Paul is telling you flat out what I'm teaching right now, after that statement, has nothing to do with the commandments of God. All it has to do with is what I think would benefit you, the Corinthians, who I'm teaching right now, in the best way possible from how I see it. This has nothing to do with the laws of God and what I'm about to read. This is how I see you and how you're living and how I, Paul, thinks you should actually change your life in this way so that you can improve. That's just clear cut. He made a direct distinction between what he's saying and what the law of God has already said. Yesodia, go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23.
This is the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. As they are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labor.
Start right there. In the brackets, he says, I speak as a fool. In the verse right above in verse 22, Paul is making a comparison between himself and the other Israelites who may try to exalt themselves over their brethren. And he's trying to show them that they're no better than he is. And speaking as a fool, I'm better than you because I've done more than you. Keep reading, Yesodia.
I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths off.
So in order to make a point to his brothers, he has to do a little gloating. He has to do a little bit of boasting, like, y'all haven't been through what I've been through. You haven't seen what I've seen. You want to be pro because you're Israelites, and you want to put yourselves over your brethren because of your culture and your ethnicity, but you haven't been through what I've been through, so you're not even on my level, so you shouldn't even try this. But right before he says, I speak as a fool, that's the specific thing he delivered to them. I'm not speaking wisely in what I'm saying. I'm doing this to get you out of your headspace and to teach you the right frame of mind. But I'm not speaking with proper wisdom in the righteous sense of the word. I'm speaking as a fool. So even in the context here, this is not the word of God and should not be viewed as the word of God, because he's directly admitting, I'm just speaking as myself, as a fool. Faye, go to the book of Romans chapter 3 and read verse 5. The book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 5.
This is the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 5. But if our unrighteousness command the righteousness of God, or Salakia commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man.
So he says the same thing again. I'm speaking as a man. This is the direct quote from Paul. I'm not speaking the word of God, but I make that observation. I'm just talking as a man would talk. So he makes the distinctions of, this is not the word of God that I'm giving to you. This is not the laws of God that I'm referring to. I'm just asking a question, or I'm just making a point, or I'm just teaching something based upon me being a man, and this is what I think. So in context, Paul cannot be read as the word of God. Paul cannot be read as the Torah. And Paul can't be read as the laws of God for doctrine. You can't view Paul in this way, because in these very specific letters that he's writing, he's talking to a specific group of people. And he's making it very clear, yo, a lot of the things that I'm saying is my opinion. This is just how I feel at the given moment. This has nothing to do with what God has said. So I gave these examples to showcase to you that when you're reading Paul's letters, not only are they to a specific group of people to help with their issues, they are not the Torah and should not be held to the standard of Torah. Because Paul is directly admitting that some things he's saying is based on what he thinks, not what the law said. And there is nothing wrong with that. So, you know, this is the second portion. So let's just summarize what we've gone through so far real quick. Paul is not the law of God. Paul is not Torah. Paul is not the commandments of God. Paul is a man who is wise and very educational and very intelligent, trying to inform the leaders of the churches he built up on how they should live according to what he thinks. And he admits several times that this is his opinion, and this is based upon what he thinks and how he feels, not what the law of God instructs. So we have that in the clear. You should never read Paul as a standard for the doctrine, as if his words are law. And there is nothing wrong with that, because Israelites did that all the time. And that is an important part of bridging the Old Testament and New Testament together. Israelites expound on what they think is right or wrong or wise or unwise all the time in the Bible. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Sirach, etc. are not Torah. The book of Proverbs is not Torah. Neither is Ecclesiastes, and neither is Sirach. These texts are not the law. But they are excellent wisdoms expressed that, if you want to, you can apply to your life, if possible. And the same is true with Paul in his writings. But just like Paul, Sirach, Solomon, etc., they all have a foundation. And this is what makes the Bible so consistent with the doctrine. There is always a foundation, meaning I can expound and give you wisdom. I could give you intelligent sayings. I could give you advice on how you should do this and that, and it not even be a direct commandment of God. But even in me doing this, I still have a foundation as a teacher. We still have that set standard that we stand on no matter what, that never shifts. That when you actually have to truly get down to the nitty-gritty of what is right and what is wrong for a person in terms of how God views it, you can always go back to the first five books of the Bible. That has always been the set standard. Not Paul's words, not Peter's words, not what James teaches, not what John teaches. They are not the standard. The standard is the first five books, and that's what you get to rest in and be comforted by. Faye, go to the book of Romans chapter 7 and verse 1.
This is the book of Romans chapter 7, verse number 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth?
So he admits in the letter to the Romans that we broke down in our last lesson that he's speaking to those who know the law. So in his instructions, when there's things that are too hard and too complicated and you can't possibly get what he's saying in that moment when you're reading it, part of the problem is that you don't know the law. You don't know the foundation. But then you're reading Paul's words and elevating his words to a certain standard and then trying to apply it to everybody and yourself as if it's law. But you don't even know the law. The law is the most important thing within these compilation of books. There's nothing more important than the first five books of this Bible. I need y'all to understand this. There is nothing more important than these first five books in this Bible. And then you read somebody's letters and you try to apply lessons or you try to teach doctrines as if you understand what he's saying, and you don't even know the foundation. Why are you reading this man's letters? Why are you in Paul's epistles and you don't even know the law? Fade, read that again.
This is the book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how doth the law have dominion over a man as long as he liveth?
As long as you're alive, the law rules over you. As long as you are alive, the law is your standard. So your priority is not knowing what Paul said. Your priority should be knowing what God said. And Paul made that very clear. So why would you be reading Paul's words to figure out the doctrine and not what your God said? It's one of the biggest issues in both the Christian and Israelite community, if I'm being fair, where we'll go into Paul's words and we'll break down everything Paul says, and we'll teach it, and when we'll got it on lock, and then we'll fight Christians for hours on what Paul says. But at no point did we really actually argue about what God said. At no point did we feel the need to get lock in step with what the God of the Bible said. Because if you believe in the Bible, you believe in its God. I would hope so. I would hope you're not a Bible-liking atheist. I would hope that if you're opening this book, you consider the fact that the God of this book is real. And if the God of this book is real, why wouldn't you be focused on what that God said and taught? Why would you be worried about what Paul taught when Paul wasn't even talking to you? You're not a Roman. You're not an Israelite in Corinth. You're not an Israelite in Ephesus. You're not an Israelite in Galatia. You're not an Israelite in any of these places having to deal with the cultural problems that they had, the very specific issues that their churches suffered from. You're not in that position. So Paul isn't even talking to you. If people were being fair and reasonable, they would be able to say that in context. When reading Paul and studying him, they should be able to be fair and go, Paul is not talking to you, bro. He's not talking to you. Paul, when he made that statement, did not mean you. How could he possibly mean you? That letter was not for you. It was written to specific groups of people about their problems. So if it's not even specifically for you, why are you trying to wrap your mind around it so much instead of wrapping your mind around the thing that clearly was for you and for everybody, no matter what generation you're in, which is the Word of God? That should be the thing you should be focused on. And that should be the thing you should be considering for your foundation. And Paul taught you that. Go to Acts chapter 24 and read verse 14. The book of Acts chapter 24 and read verse 14. I hope you all are writing these scriptures down. If you can, get a pen and a pad, write these scriptures down. Of course, the lesson is being recorded, but please write these scriptures down. And of course, formulate questions if you do have any questions, and hold those to the end of the lesson. Yesadi, you got it.
This is Acts chapter 24 and verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets.
This is what you should be focusing on in your life. Your daily life and ministry should be entirely focused on that. Worshiping God by believing in all things which are written in the law and the prophets. Paul did not say you worship God by believing in all things that Paul said. Yesaya, I could be wrong, man. I could be wrong. You know, my hearing, it couldn't be as good. Yesaya, did you see him say that? Because you're reading it. Did he say believe in everything he said? I just want to be sure. Read that again for me, King.
This is Acts 24 and 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets.
I really thought he was going to say, and everything that I said in my letters to these different groups of people, that you, he never intended for you to have to begin with, but you're using them to teach doctrines as if it was written for you to begin with. No, he said the law and the prophets, because the law and the prophets was for all Israel, for all the Israelites, for all their generations, because that's what God said. So that's for you, not what Paul said. And that separation does have to be made so that you can understand the culture that you're supposed to be practicing and what you're actually supposed to be focusing on. The law and the prophets should be your foundation. It should be what you're focused on. As it is written, should be the thing you study the most, should be the thing you put your meditation on, what the word of God says. That should be your focus. Not trying to figure out why Paul worded this thing so weirdly. That should not be your focus. That should not be your priority. And again, I'm not saying this to say you should never read Paul. I'm not saying this to say you should never apply any wisdoms that Paul actually gives. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's priorities. When you're reading the Bible and you have a mentality, when you're actually opening this text to study it, you should be prioritizing things. Certain things in this text should just be your priority. What God says should be your priority, not what Paul says. That should be your focus. So that's what I'm trying to explain in this lesson of As It Is Written. As it is written should be your priority. What is written according to what God said should be what you put forward and focus on throughout your daily ministry and walk. That's what you should be putting all your heart and energy into, not trying to decipher a letter that wasn't even for you. So that's what I'm trying to teach y'all, and to have that mentality when you read the text. Faye, go to the book of Acts, chapter 28 and verse 23. The book of Acts, chapter 28 and verse 23.
This is the book of Acts, chapter 28, verse number 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till even.
Because the actual important thing that we're so focused on and keen on getting is the kingdom of God. I hope that's the mission statement for everybody in this room right now. I hope that's your mission statement. I hope that's what you are setting your sights for, is the kingdom of God. And if that's the case, you have to go to the law and the prophets to know how to receive it. You have to go to the Torah and you have to go to the words of God and the prophecies to understand what the kingdom of God is so that you can accomplish and achieve it. You're not going to accomplish or achieve the kingdom of God by trying to discern why long hair is for some reason negative in this letter, but the same man has long hair in other parts of his life. You don't gain the kingdom of God trying to figure out what Paul was trying to teach concerning why long hair looks weird on men. You don't gain the kingdom of God by doing that. You gain the kingdom of God by knowing what commandments you're supposed to be keeping, how you're supposed to keep them, what it looks like, how you're supposed to apply it practically, and then you doing it. That's how you get the kingdom of God. Not trying to understand the certain intricate advice he gives to certain churches. That's not to say you can't know why he said it, but that's not the priority. The priority is as it is written. So if you're going to grow in this truth and you're going to grow in this understanding, you have to prioritize the word of God and as it is written, the same way that Paul did. And then once you do that, then you could think about other things. But until then, you got to actually build yourself up on solid rock, not on shifting sand, on a solid rock of this law and this word and will of God, so you can know what you're supposed to be doing in your everyday life. Because remember, all of these great men's wisdom, the foundation is the law and the prophets. But not every single wisdom is a commandment or a prophecy. And we apply this in context with Solomon. No one in this room says that Solomon is law, and no one holds Solomon to a standard of law in their minds when they think about his writings. You don't do it for Sirach. Sirach said many wise sayings. You don't apply that to every single aspect of your life. Solomon said some amazing things. So like beautiful things. You don't apply that to your everyday life. Because you understand inherently, this is just wisdom. And not all wisdom applies to me. Not all wisdom applies to every situation that I have. What applies to every single situation that I have is the commandments of God. That's what applies to you in everything that you do, the law. Because that's what you're expected to do. That's what's required of you. I got faith to read the last scripture. Yesodia, go to Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12.
This is the book of Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what doeth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul.
This is what the Most High God requires of us. God did not require you to know and understand what Paul taught. God did not require you to do that. He did not require you to understand Paul's letters. He did not require you to understand James' letters or Peter's or John's. This is not what was required of you. He made it very clear what he expects of you for your everyday life. Yesodia, read it again.
And now, Israel, what doeth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul.
So, if this is the requirement, this is the thing you have to know. You have to know the commandments. This is why Tab has a very beautiful system where when we're prospecting and we're coming into the organization, you got to study the first five books, and we can't focus on anything else. That's why Tab has that very beautiful system set up and put in place, because that's actually the most important thing. There is nothing else expected of you in the sight of God. When the judgment actually occurs, that's what you're being judged on. There is no other standard. You're not going to be judged on understanding why Paul taught to cover your head or uncover your head when you pray or read the Bible. That's not the standard. The standard is you keep the commandments of God. That's the expectation. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. Faye, get that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. That's the conclusion of all of this. Read that for me, Faye.
And this is the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse number 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
That's all that's expected of you. Faith, I could be wrong, but I believe that duty right there is in italics. When you
that
read
is
it in
correct.
The Yes, it's in italics, meaning it's not there in the original Hebrew. So in the Hebrew, it literally says to fear God and keep the commandments is the all of man. That's what it directly says in Hebrew. All of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's what encompasses you as a person. That's what makes you up as an individual. That's all you are. fear God and keep his commandments. That's the conclusion of who you are. That's the set standard for you. Follow God's laws. Study, know, and keep his commandments. Yesodia, go to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 15. Just to continue on this point. Book of Revelation chapter 22 and verse 15.
Con, this is the book of Revelation chapter 22 and verse 15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie.
So the sinners, those who break God's commandments, aren't making it into the kingdom. That's just a set rule right there. They're not getting it. You're not seeing it. If you're unrighteous and you're breaking God's laws, you are not going to have eternal life. Read verse 14, Saudi.
Verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city.
You're blessed if you do the commandments of God. You will have right to eternal life if you keep the commandments of God. Yesodia, did it say anything about you'll be blessed and you'll have eternal life if you know Paul's letters?
La.
I just wanted to be sure, you know, I don't know everything. It's going to come across like I'm just bashing Paul. It's going to come across like I despise Paul. And I just feel like abusing and disregarding Paul today. No. I just want to showcase to you, you need to sort out your priorities. When it comes to this Bible and what you're studying, you need to know what is the standard and focus on that. Everything else is secondary. And they said it. Paul, James, Peter, they all said it. What they're teaching is secondary. What comes first is the word of God. They all say it. The priority is what God said. All their thing is, that's just icing on the cake. That's beautiful poetry. That's eloquent wisdom. That's great history. That's very sound advice. But that's not the word of God, though. And you need to have that mentality as you move forward in this truth and what you're actually supposed to be focusing on. Fade, get me Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. Brother Fade, the book of Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12.
This is the book of Revelation chapter 14, verse number 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
So this is the summary. This is just the conclusion of what you're striving for and what you have patience for. The entire conclusion is keep the commandments of God and the faith in Christ. And in the last, as is written, lesson, that was the summary of Paul's letter to the Romans. That was the summary. When he went to the word of God, That's the conclusion. Have faith, keep the commandments. That was the conclusion we came to. For those who missed that lesson, go and catch those recordings. I believe Fade recorded and placed it in the chat. Appreciate you for that, brother, for scribing that. That was the conclusion when we went to the word of God that Paul actually quoted. That was the conclusion that we came to. Have faith in God and keep his commandments. So then we see that is the conclusion and the patience of the saints. Keep the commandments of God and the faith in Jesus Christ. That is the conclusion of our ministry. So that is the priority and the standard. That's the backbone. And we got to be aware of that. You don't have to use Paul's words for your backbone. You should do what Paul did, which was to have the Torah as your backbone. I'll say it again. You don't have to use Paul's words for your backbone. You should do what Paul did, which was to have the Torah as your backbone. That's the thing that you should fall back on. and using Paul as a foundation without the Torah, and using Paul as a foundation as if he's Torah, has led people to read Paul's words and go, the law is done away with, or I can do this, I can eat pork. No, you don't have to do that anymore. That's what happened when you make Paul your foundation. These doctrines come out of the woodwork. You don't got to keep God's laws no more. That's that old law, baby, as Fade would say. That's what happens when you try to make Paul your backbone. You bring confusion to yourself. I made Fade read. Yesodia, go to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and read verse 15. Because this is the confusion that comes about when you try to make Paul your foundation. Read that for me, King.
2 Peter chapter 2 and 15.
Chapter 3 and verse 15.
Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And it reads, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you.
Paul had wisdom. No one in this room is going to deny that. I'm not denying it. Corey won't deny it. Dude with Faye, no teacher in our organization would deny this. Paul has wisdom. Wisdom has been given to Paul. Paul is an intelligent brother. He's a very intelligent brother. Very wise. And he's very good at giving advice. He knows what he's talking about. But read verse 16, Isadia.
Come on, verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they are, Salaki, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction.
So if you pay attention to the context of that verse, what Peter is trying to say is, because of how intelligent and wise Paul is, some of the things he's saying gets very confusing, and some people are just not getting it. But the same people who are struggling with what he's saying there are also struggling with the laws of God. And they're struggling with the laws of God to their own destruction. Because in the verse, he's not saying, if you are struggling with Paul's letters, you're going to be destroyed. That's not what he's trying to teach there. He's not saying that if you don't understand what Paul was trying to say in that particular letter, you're going to be destroyed and burnt in a lake of fire. That's not what he's saying. He's saying the same people who are struggling with the things Paul said are also struggling with the laws of God. And because they're struggling with the laws of God, they're going to be destroyed. So in that verse, Peter actually makes the separation that we all should have been making when it comes to Paul's letters. Peter did not say you was going to understand everything Paul said. He did not say you were going to be destroyed if you did not understand what Paul said. He said, because you are struggling with the commandments of God and the words of his prophets, you're going to die. So in that verse, he set the standard and he showed you what the priority was by showing you that you're going to be destroyed because you're struggling with the law and the prophets. He showed that there is a separation between what Paul wrote and what God said. Peter actually gives you that separation. You're going to be destroyed if you can't get what God said. But he didn't give that judgment to if you can't get what Paul said. Because there are some things that Paul says that are hard to be understood. So when you have that understanding, you have that standard, a lot of things in the New Testament becomes easier for you, because now you understand the foundation. If the foundation is the law of God, I don't have to worry about understanding the teachings of Paul. And if I do understand the teachings of Paul, that's great for me, because I have added wisdom to myself. But the foundation is the law. And if I understand the law, I understand the doctrine, I understand the culture, and I understand what every single righteous brother in this book is actually fighting for. They were not fighting for what the letter of the Ephesians was saying. They're fighting for what the laws of God says. And that's the conclusion of the whole matter. This is my last scripture, and that'll be the end of the lesson. If there's any questions, of course, should bring it to the end. If Corey's in here, of course, he would be able to expound and express how he thought concerning the lesson and any points he wants to make. But this will be the last scripture for the lesson, and then I'll yield. Faye, go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 19. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 19.
This is the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 19. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God.
That's always been the conclusion of the whole matter, the keeping of the commandments of God. Everything is empty and vain and pointless, but your law keeping. And that's an excellent mentality that needs to be applied whenever you're reading the Old and the New Testament. Whenever you're trying to understand these men's wise sayings, these advice that they're giving, the explanations they're giving for certain things, for certain people, always have that in mind. That everything is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. That's what is important, and that is what has value. So with that, I want to give all praise, honor, and glory to the Most High. Yahweh, in the name of his son, Yahweh Shai, I open the floor to Adam Juan Corey if he has anything to say, and any other brothers who want to give any commentary or points as well.
Con, excellent job, Adam Juan. I think that is the main point that needs to be driven home. How you have other factions. I mean, most of us in this room in times past yielded to all types of, because, you know, the Bible, you know, that's much more like Greek or Latin for a compilation of books. So you have to understand that it's the compilation of books, but then you also have holy scriptures that's separate from just the regular writings or the regular scriptures. They're separate, meaning what thus saith the Lord God and what he communicated in the law and the prophets. And then the difference between what, you know, most of the Israelite writers wrote, showing that there's a distinction there. So sometimes that, you know, our Christian brothers and sisters, they try to force Paul's understanding to then not only equate to God's understanding, but to supersede God's understanding and what he made plain all throughout the text. And it's not to say that Paul did not 100% agree with what the law and the prophets were saying. It's to say that they twisted the scriptures to their own destruction, as 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16 says. So I thought it was an awesome lesson to simply just stop for a second and drive that point home, to say, no. Everything isn't as it is written. And that actually goes into the topic. Everything isn't as it is written, but there is some phrases that is as it is written when somebody is referencing back. But, you know, you have to make sure you, you know, divide, you know, the proper understanding the correct way. So I think it was an awesome job just to focus on Paul, because that's where most of the misunderstanding comes from. And all of Paul's letters is contributed to his following and what he said to his following. He was not changing the doctrine. He was just trying to talk to them plainly in a culture that he spoke to them. He tried to speak like them, but to make the point of keeping the laws of God and the prophets. So I think What happens is Christians go against Romans 7:1. They don't understand what the law says. So then they just enforce their misunderstanding or what they was taught, you know, their dogma, what they was taught in a cemetery school. And then they enforce that on Paul's understanding when he was not writing in such a way. So I think it was awesome to just slow it down and just simply make that point.
Any brothers got any comments that they want to add?
Slakia.
Got it.
Kind. That was a dope lesson, good brother Danyala. You actually brought something that I felt like is noteworthy. The Acts chapter 28 and verse 23. Because it's a lot of individuals go to that scripture and just, you know, point out that Paul's understanding came from the law and the prophets. I thought that was a dope scripture. And we go here always to teach that here's where Paul is getting his understanding. But the specific thing for you to highlight that specific thing as it was referring to the kingdom of God, I thought that was a dope point out. That's something I also myself had just, you know, kind of read past. So I appreciate you bringing that point, your brother, an excellent lesson once again.
So lucky.
Oh, you got it, son.
All right, King. I just want to let you know that was a powerful lesson. I just want to reiterate what all the brothers already said up to this point, man. That was a hell of a way you put that all together. And every Christian on earth needs to get this lesson you just gave, sir. All praises.
Come on, all praises to the Most High. Any other points? Come on, you got it, King.
Yeah, hey, brother. That was a beautiful lesson, man. It was definitely a blessing. I was moving around, wasn't able to take notes, but I'm excited to go back and listen to this lesson again. Like, it's going to be a joy just to go back and listen again. That was beautiful. Well said. Great presentation, brother. So I just want to encourage you to keep up the good work, man. And it was one point. What was the point I wanted to make? If I think of it, I'll shoot it to you, man. But I think it was a dope lesson, man. Appreciate it.
Come, the water. Any questions concerning the lesson? Any questions at all? No, it's the time.
Oh, Slakia.
Talking.
That's what it was. I had a question. So, concerning the letters of Paul, would you consider those scriptures?
Well, most definitely, Chody. Because the word scriptures simply means writings. So Paul's words are writings found in the Bible and would, of course, have that title, but they wouldn't be holy scriptures. They're not set apart scriptures. What I mean by that is they're simply not the Torah. They're not the holy scriptures, as he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. That's not what his writings are. His writings are specific letters to specific people for their very specific problems in the very specific locations that they live in. And should not be applied to every single person and every single aspect of your life. Myself and Faith were talking about this earlier, but Paul says something concerning long hair, and if you apply it to every aspect of the Bible and the culture that is taught, then Paul would be saying that there's something wrong with you being a Nazarite. And it will get very confusing if you try to apply that, knowing that Paul was at one point a Nazarite while believing in Christ. But he specifically says something about long hair, and in that very specific context, it makes sense because of who he's trying to advise. But if you try to apply it like it's law, then the law itself will become inconsistent, and then Paul would become inconsistent, and he would become a hypocrite, and it wouldn't be fair to him, and it wouldn't be fair to our God. So are his letters scriptures? Yes, because they're writings. But are they the holy scriptures, meaning the law and the prophets? They should not be considered that. No. I hope that answers your question. Okay, any other questions? I see a hand raised on my screen. I don't know what that was.
Salah, any other?
Oh, Khan says you got it.
Hi. So I have a question. So I haven't read any of Paul's epistles on my own because I'm not that far into the Bible yet, and I hear a lot of the controversy about Paul. And so what I wanted to know is, what exactly did Paul do for people to hold him in such a high regard? Because, like, I know people go to Paul to try to discredit Christ or to say, like, as if he's above Christ, some people. So what exactly did he do that people hold him to such a high standard?
Well, to answer that, what Paul did was, he was an intelligent brother who gave great advice, but people can't make the separation between great advice and the word of God. And they place that advice on the standard of God's word. And they don't, a lot of times people don't seem to grasp that Paul himself admits, this is not the law of God. I'm just saying this to help you do better, but I'm not pretending I just got this from the commandments of God. That's why he'll use phrases like, I speak by permission and not by commandment. I speak as a man. I speak as a fool. Like, these are just my opinions, and they're very intelligent opinions. Don't get us twisted. Paul is a very intelligent brother, and I will humbly say Paul is way smarter than I ever could be. Let's not get this twisted. Paul is way more intelligent than I ever could be. So I'm not trying to bash Paul's intelligence or wisdom, because even Peter said it clean. Paul was given wisdom, and he exponed it very well. The issue is that people can't make the separation between what Paul says and what God commands, mostly because they want to ignore God's commandments entirely, and they try to use Paul and push Paul up to be the new standard, instead of holding on to the standard they should have already looked to, which was what God said. Hey, Faye, can you give me a scripture, King? Let's give an example of this issue. If you're still there, King. If not,
I got you up.
Go to 1 Corinthians. I think you know what I want. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and read verse 13 first.
This is the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 13. Judge in yourselves. It is comely, Salakia. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered?
So he's talking to the Corinthians in this letter, to the leadership of the church at Corinth. And he's saying, judging yourself, meaning figure it out for yourself. Is it a good thing that a woman pray unto God uncovered? This has nothing to do with the law of God. This has nothing to do with the Torah. Paul is making an observation based upon how the Corinthians behave. For those who don't know historically, the Corinthians had a very backward standard where the women would behave very masculine and the men would go out of their way to behave feminine, to the point where the men would go out of their way to look like a woman. That was actually a thing in Corinth. So Paul is trying to establish a standard for the church in Corinth, like trying to make that separation between men and women and how it should look for them. He's trying to get them out of the headspace of trying to change the genders around and trying to get them back to their proper behavior. Read verse 14, Faith.
Verse number 14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him?
Now, this is a question he's asking. If you look at nature, if you look at us naturally, when men have long hairs lack you. Isn't it shameful to him? No, all of us in this room got to stop for a moment and go, if Paul is teaching this as law, this will be a direct contradiction to what the Torah has already said. Because the Torah not only allows you to have long hair in general, but to be set apart to God in a vow to God meant you had to have long hair. So if Paul is suggesting to have long hair is truly shameful, he would be saying to keep a vow to God is shameful. That does not make sense. So you are not supposed to view that as the laws of God. Salaki, if I'm being long-winded, but I just wanted to show this example to answer your question, Asia, and also show the issues with propping Paul up as the word of God, what starts to happen. Read verse 15, Fade.
Verse number 15. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given for her, Salakia, given her for a covering.
So he's right there. When women have long hair, they're beautiful. You're not going to doubt that. You're right, Paul. And then in certain instances, yeah, as a man having long hair versus you having short hair, yeah, you do look different when you cut your hair. Yeah, that's true. But are you saying that it's wrong to have long hair, Paul? In general, no, that wouldn't make any sense. Paul is teaching a group of people who in the world, in the land of Corinth, grown men would grow their hair long so they could look like women because they were gay. That is the literal issue. They live in a region where grown men grew their hair long just so they could look more female because of their homosexual lifestyle. That's who he's talking to. So he's trying to make this separation for them. No, you behave as a man, she behaves as a woman. And I'm going to use this example that you have in your everyday life to show you how you've been behaving gay and she's been behaving weird. So stop being gay and you stop being weird. And this is how I'm showing it to you, by using this everyday example to get it through your head. Teachers do this all the time. Like, teachers use everyday experiences and everyday examples that you see to hit it in your head that, damn, he kind of right. That does look nasty. And the intentions behind it is wicked as hell. Why am I doing this? Let me stop. Like, teachers do that every day in real life. But then when we get to Paul, we're supposed to make Paul the word of God when he says that. But then Paul takes that away from people. Read verse 16, if you're still there, Faith.
Verse number 16. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God.
And then his immediate response after that wisdom was, but if you're uncomfortable by what I just taught, none of us have that law, nor do the churches have that law. That's just a thing I'm telling you, so you can behave. So the real issue, Asia, and for everybody in the room, is that Paul himself makes it clear he's not the law of God, but Christians and Israelites alike can't make the distinction. And because of these questions and this advice that Paul gives, they apply it like his law, not understanding that Paul made it very clear that it was not. And that's where a lot of the issue and contention comes from. I hope that answered your question, and I hope that was edifying as well.
Salakia.
Connor the one.
Oh, Salakia, my bad. Sis, did that answer your question?
Kind. The water.
Colin, the thing that I was going to say, it was a small thing. Like, when you go to that verse 14, we see speaking about a natural thing. When it said, does not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? If anybody would be applying that to, like, you know, teach in today's time that men shouldn't have long hair, it wouldn't, you know, just from a logical standpoint, it's not good. Because if you go into, if we observe nature in itself, like the glory of the male line is the mane, which is long hair. And you see the feminine line not having such a thing. Even us as human beings, we naturally come out with hair, not as much as we would, but naturally our hair doesn't shed itself off for males and then just expound and length as females in a way that a man can't. You know what I mean? I hope that's understood. So excellent lesson once again, Dayala. It's good to not treat what Paul says as any form of a law. The law is a guide for us.
Hey, that was an excellent example. You got some next to Stasia?
Yeah, I was just gonna say that I really still don't understand what is meant by nature making it a shame. Like, I don't really understand the comparison or the wisdom behind it.
Paul is literally like, he as a man, see how you got to do this? You have to do this for Paul and not make Paul's words anything more than what it is. Paul is a man, is looking at men and women and is saying that when men don't have their hair long and their hair is short, they look like men. That's all he's saying. When we cut our hair, we look like men. That's his literal point to them. And that when women grow their hair long, they look like women. That's his only point. It's actually that simple, because the people he's talking to have gone so far as to not want to be men. They grow their hair long to look like women and be gay. So he has to remove that by just giving the advice of, when you cut your hair as a man, you look like a man. And when women grow their hair long, they look like women. So when you're growing your hair out, you look like a woman. So you shouldn't be doing that. And that doesn't apply to everybody, Sister Asia and everybody else in the room. That does not apply to everybody. He's talking to a specific group of people who have a very terrible culture that they have to separate from. So he's making that observation. But as Fade said, it can't be applied to everything, because not every man with long hair looks like a woman. That can't always be applied to every single person. So you're not supposed to view that as law. You're just supposed to view that as Paul's trying to get people to just behave within their gender and not try to step out of it. That's the way you're supposed to view that, sis. I hope I answered your question.
So, like, yeah, I can add too. Yeah, it was just a cultural point of what was happening that time. In the province of Corinth, just like it is popular, because I mean, you see where the spreading of the Greek, influence or diaspora spread into America from the Romans, etc. So you have that same concept here, to where generally most of women, the desire is to grow their hair long, and that is the glory of a woman. Like, the longer your hair, you know what I mean, that's more glorious. Like, even our women, they don't shoot to have short hair. That's not the basis of most women. The basis of most women is to have as long as hair as possible. You know what I mean? That's a literal point. Ooh, sus, your hair is long. Wow. That's a literal point. You know, even our women would wear extensions just to have length, because that is a glorious thing. But you don't see men desiring to extend their hair longer, because that's not the glory of men. The glory of men is to cut their hair. We cut our hair, and but it's not to say that you don't have the Amber Rose like women that have short hair, or the men that may have long dreads like the old Busta Rhymes or something. So it's not to make a point that is law. That is the point that the brother Danielle is teaching. It's just a cultural point to then make a point to talk about the head and how the woman should follow the man and the man should follow Christ and Christ should follow God. That was the only cultural point the brother was making at that time. So he just went into like a worldly example to say that this is what women desire, the length of hair. This is what men desire, to have a short cut. And then like, let's just kind of stay within the bounds of that and be in order. So he just went into a worldly example, but it's not infallible. That's how all wisdoms work. If I was to give a wisdom today, it doesn't work in another section. That's why Brother Faye Runner. That's why he was making a point of saying it doesn't work necessarily in the animal kingdom that way. You know what I mean? You have the male side of things with a longer hair. It doesn't work like that. It's not infallible. It's not just perfect every single place that you place the wisdom in, which is why it's not the word of God. It's Paul giving wisdom to Corinth in terms of what was going on at the time. So he's just talking about the difference between the male gender and the feminine gender, and how they look at things and how we look at things from a worldly perspective, to make an overall point of follow the man, men follow Christ, Christ follow God. That was it.
That's a good question, sis.
Con. Yeah, I understand that, and thank y'all for explaining that. I think the specific thing that I'm not envisioning is like when they, like if you could read it again, whenever it says nature makes it a shame, that's what I'm not, like how does nature make it a shame? Does my question make sense, or do I need to reword it?
When you're going into nature, it's the word in the Koine Greek for lineal descent. That's why I said it's cultural. It's not nature as we're looking at it now. So when we say nature, we're thinking about green grass, dirt, and animals. And maybe like water, sea animals. No, when you go into that word nature, you're talking about lineal descent. So it's talking about cultural things. Like when you come home, what your family would like. It's just like if I was to go home in my mom and dad's house and like my beard was blonde, it's like they'll probably be like, okay, because culturally that's weird. It's weird as hell. It's like you have a woman grow long hair and then she come in the house one day and she just shave bald. It's a shocking factor. It's culturally that it is weird. So Paul is making a point at that time in Israelite culture, even in Greece, it is weird as hell to see that. That's what he's saying. So that's why he's saying it's a shame per nature. He's not saying it's a shame based on the laws of God, because men had long hair because they had long beards. Go to Psalms chapter 133 right quick.
Kind of the one. It's the book of Psalms, chapter 133. And verse one, a song of degrees of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Right. So it's a pleasant thing for brethren to dwell together, to be all in one fashion, moving as one body of Christ. Verse two.
It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard.
Right. So you got the precious ointment on the head. It's easy to run down your face when there's not a clog of thick, coarse hair there. You put it inside of your head, it's going to be rough. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard. So to make it all the way down to your beard, you ain't got a bunch of hair up there. Read.
Even Aaron's beard.
Aaron's beard, right? Which what?
that went down to the skirts of his garments.
So that means Aaron's beard was extremely long and it went all the way down past his knees. That's how long Aaron's beard was. So the point is, it's not talking about long hair in the sense of just long hair, period, because as you see, it's lower on the top. It runs down easy. But then he has a long beard in terms of that. But he's just talking about culturally in terms of like lineal descent, what's handed down to you. It could be something that you find in the Bible, or it can be something that you do not find in the Bible. But it's not specifically spoken of in the word of God as a thou shalt or thou shalt not. It's just clarity in terms of being shaven. You can't necessarily shave your hair as a man or a woman, you know, down to the skin, as long as you have hair. So Paul is making a cultural point of what was happening in Corinth at that time. But I think the holdup is the nature and shame. And the nature is cultural, and the shame is how they looked at things at that time, of men having long hair or women having long hair.
Khan, thank you for that. I think that's where the confusion was, the way I was thinking about nature, because I was definitely thinking about the forest and animals. So that makes sense.
Khan says, all praise to the Most High.
Khan, any other questions concerning the lesson? Any other questions concerning the lesson? If not, we could actually end it right there. I'm just giving a minute or so if anybody's busy. Of course, this class was recorded by Brother Fade and the Sister Kanai. I appreciate both of y'all for doing that. I believe they'll have those recordings either by the end of the night or in the morning.